middle. But when guys are costing you yards, when they're costing you yards because they're not either paying attention or they're taunting someone,
Cordero
or they're
Patterson,
taking their helmet off.
That is absolutely inexcusable to me. That is your job. That is your phase of the game. You own that phase. What the hell are you doing? But I think you're right. I think there are a lot of questions to ask of Nagy, but I can't let evaluation and execution are still parts of this Bears debacle.
Oh, a major one.
Like massive, massive questions. Because even if Nagy does struggle running a sideline, does struggle with an offensive philosophy, if he can't overcome six drops by his handpicked wide receivers, by the Bears picked wide receivers, okay, that's a problem in execution. That's also a problem in evaluation and the way you've moved up to get those guys like Miller that all rests in an ability to get done what you're asking to do. And if you can't run these plays, if you're not able to block and tackle, you know, to a certain degree, then everybody's going to lose their scheme and their philosophy and what they're trying to get done.
Yes, and we did see some applied learning. The applied learning happened on the defensive side. Okay, you know what we can do against Jared Goff? We're going to run our Rhino defensive package with six defensive linemen out there. We're going to do that. We're going to run this 6-1 thing, and it works until McVay counters and goes, okay, well, we'll run a little play action. We'll see what we can do with Cooper Kupp, try to get him in some open space and make some plays. And even in that, the defense didn't play well enough for this team to win a game, even though they played pretty well.
They played well enough for a competent offense to win a game.
Absolutely.
For a replacement-level NFL team.
And that's what I mean. What I mean is that if you had two jobs, that's how we can evaluate Matt Nagy. The two jobs that he was brought in here to have. Get the quarterback right and fix the offense. Which one of those two things has he done? Neither. Now, they're both connected. The quarterback can't get right, but when your quarterback can't get right, you know what you do? You do what Sean McVay did yesterday with his quarterback that can't get right. You're going to drop back 18 times. And when you drop back, for the most part, it's going to be off of play action. I'm going to cut the field in half, and I'm going to let you roll out there. Now, his idiot quarterback still threw an interception with a cut in half field and had opportunities for more. But what you saw was, I'm going to do a better job of not exposing my quarterback. And what Nagy continues to do is expose his quarterback, and not in a good way. And even if we want to talk about it from the physical standpoint, the exposure of a hurt quarterback on an option play where you don't have to do that. You don't have to decide, well, we'll get the guy who's hurt moving laterally to the short side of the field and make him have to make a decision, which might be difficult for him considering how he feels right now.
Now, you were in the room with those guys. I'm wondering if it was the moment, be honest now, everybody here, the moment you saw them assume that formation and you notice personnel, you see what's going on, and he said, oh, it's a pistol. I thought I had nothing but dread. I'm conditioned to the point where I had zero faith that that was going to be a successful, positive play.
It's the same thing where he makes the decision because he doesn't trust the kicker to go for it on fourth and nine. Yeah.
Which they were never going to pick
up. Come
on. And then, of course, that contributes to his lack of confidence on the next one. Instead of just saying, all right, you know what, go get him. You had a bad kick, go make a good kick. Then you've put it in his head that you already gave him a vote of no confidence when you need that 3 points the next time.
Yep. Yeah. And you're the one who put this circus together. You're the one who then came out and said that you had ultimate trust in a player with no resume. That's the type of stuff, Connor, that I'm talking about.
No doubt.
That's what I mean by I'm not convinced that he knows how to run a sideline. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that he knows how to coach this team because you're seeing too many things.
It's very Trestman-y.
Right?
Starting to feel that way.
It does.
It's starting to feel that way.
It's definitely too Trestman-y, way more Trestman-y than it should be.
Yes.
And too Trestman-y for my taste.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff that has gone wrong, and it's seemingly a coach that doesn't have a grip on reality on what his team is and what they are capable of, and or an answer on how to get them where he needs to go. They average 16 points a game. His job was to make the quarterback and the offense better. He has failed at his job. That is Bernstein and McKnight. They are here every day, 9 a.m. until noon. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tomorrow night, the Chicago Wolves host their 1,000th regular season game at Allstate Arena. That's exciting. Even better, it's the first craft beer night of the season. To get your tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Tony, let's go.
These are all stars, the kind of players the league is built around. We aren't talking Mitchell Trubisky here.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Someone in the room up there at Halas Hall should have said, we should probably go to Atlanta, even if we're not planning on signing Colin Kaepernick. Take the football aspect out of it for a second. I think there are football reasons to go. You should go because there is already a rep that is building about you as an organization. Someone up there at 1920 Football Drive should have been smart enough to say, we should go and we should tell everybody that we're going. Here's what's happened, though. As of now, they're not going publicly. It's still possible that they go. They have now left this in the hands of their head coach because the general manager is too scared to talk. So now Matt Nagy has to deal with this, and he's going to have to keep dealing with it until Colin Kaepernick gets signed. He's going to have to field questions on this next week when, honestly, all of it could have been avoided with a simple two-minute conversation.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to spend the day talking about the Bears. Yes, those Bears, your Chicago Bears. That's what we are going to do. The crew, they're still intact. Radio stars, I heard them yesterday. Tony Gill and Rick Camp talking a little bit about the Bears. So we are going to do this. We are going to really, really do this today. We are going to talk about what goes on with this team, and we're going to talk about what happened in LA last night. The Bears lose 17-7. You are listening to a Built for Tough Bears Monday here on The Score. Tony and I have been in the lab. We have a lot of sound that we want to go through, trying to figure some things out. There's also some really cool, just football-y football stuff that I want to try and get to today. But I want to finish what I was saying during transition. I want to finish what we were kind of talking about with Dan and Connor, where if there is any faith in the Bears from you, I'm not sure where it comes from. Maybe it comes from the fact that you do have a defense that's still playing hard, and it was really great to see them take the ball away. But they would take the ball away, and then the offense wouldn't do something with it. When you end up in situations where everything that can go wrong goes wrong, where it's a game where you walk away and go, well, Mitch wasn't terrible, and you use that as a, oh, well, then he was good. That's not it. It's a sliding scale. The offense scored 7 points last night, and they were in position to score more, and they didn't. Why? Because special teams was a net negative for them. Because the kicker missed kicks. And I go back to what I said, and someone's like, well, you know, he made 80% of his kicks going in. Okay. That's still not an NFL resume that one should have ultimate trust in. And then that trust ends up getting broken, and they end up going for it on 4th and 9 because you don't trust the kicker to make a kick. And then you get put in another situation. He goes out there, and instead of hooking it left, he overcompensates and then misses it right. After everything that the Bears went through to get to the point where Eddie Pinheiro is the kicker, and because he won a game for you in Denver, and because he has a nickname, the Bears and Bears fan, you the Bears fan, think he's good. There's no proof that he's good. And I wish that the Bears as an organization would stop doing that. They go on hope instead of what they're actually seeing. It's the same thing with the quarterback. You're going on hope. You're hoping that he gets it. When he's telling you with every single time that he plays what he can and can't do, and the coach just seems to disregard it. No. Still going to keep trying to do some of this stuff. No. He can't do it. So that's when you, as a coach, do less. And I understand that play call sheet is getting emptier and emptier every week you see it on television. But you kind of need to do less until you get to a formula that is a winning formula, although at this point it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Because if you haven't come to a conclusion about Mitchell Trubisky at this point, I don't know what else you need to see. He's not good. And he may, in years down the line, with the right coach, with the right system, may turn himself into a viable bottom rung starter or competent backup. He may do that. But what the Bears were expecting in 2019 wasn't that. The number two pick in the draft should elevate the rest of the guys. His play should elevate. And there aren't enough times during Mitch's career that has been the case. That's not to say that I don't have empathy for him. I do. I think that throughout this season, more than last year, throughout this season, his coach has put him in a bad spot. Whether it's talking about, well, now Mitch is ready to take the next step in his development, 202 level stuff for this offense. He's not ready to do that. And he wasn't ready in August to do that. And I'm not sure what they saw that made them believe that he was ready to do that.
I don't think they had any evidence that showed. I just think that they just had blind faith. Oh, second year, you should be doing this. Now let's do it. Without even considering that he was ready or not.
It's pushing someone ahead when they haven't, like, if you were reading chapters, it's pushing you ahead in the chapters without you having real good comprehension of what you previously read. And like, nope, this is the way that the syllabus is set up. You just need to be here instead of going, okay, here's a student that needs a little extra time, that needs things to be broken down in a way that clearly they're not able to convey to him yet. And still they persist. That 3rd and 1 call is indicative of Matt Nagy, the play caller. And I know that people are, I heard Mullion Hall kind of talking a little bit about this morning, the idea of him not being the play caller anymore. I'm actually for it because I think that there's a step that's been skipped here. Not everyone can do everything at every time. And I think that there would be value in him worrying about the CEO aspect of being a head coach. I think the focus of what he believes is going to win football games in 2019, and I think it's something that a lot of us have been fed and have fed into is offense, offense, offense. That's all that matters. All you got to do is get the quarterback right, and then everything else is going to work itself out. Meanwhile, stuff is slipping. Whether it's the communication a few weeks ago with Eddie Pinheiro on where he wanted to kick the ball, or communicating that your quarterback might be hurt, and perhaps you shouldn't put him in vulnerable situations where he's going to have to make plays with his feet when his hip is hurt. I think that there are issues with discipline on this team where you have guys doing whatever they want to do. You have guys on this team that, and Anthony Miller is you know, public enemy number one for me on this, because I think he's a talented player. He can't get out of his own way, and no one seems to be able to help him get out of his own way. So you have a scenario last night where he commits the offensive pass interference, he tips the ball, it's an interception, and instead of getting off the field, he's barking and flashing whatever at the opponent. Cordarrelle Patterson has legitimately been one of your best players this season. He is an incredible four-phase special teams guy that is giving you some value on offense. He took his helmet off last night on the field. This is what I mean by Matt being able to handle the sideline. Perhaps him giving the play calling to Mark Helfrich will make him a better CEO. Because right now, he's not doing his job well. And last year, when the offense started to slip, it was gobbled up because the defense would win games for you because they would take the ball away at an incredible rate that wasn't sustainable and score. And now that that's gone away, that aspect of your team has gone away, what are you left with? You're left with a special teams that outside of your kickoff return game is a mess. And occasionally the punter. Outside of that is a mess. And an offense that can't score. You won't win games like that. And you have all sorts of issues. Look at what they've done. Look at what offense at all cost has been about. We can't get it right. So even though our plan was we were going to draft this kid and have him play center, we can't get it right with the quarterback, so we're going to make a switch. And we're going to put things back to, well, when we were kind of succeeding. There's a lot here, man. There's a lot for us to discuss. There's a lot of stuff that I want you to hear on today's show. I don't know what to tell you. Other than hard questions have to be asked on every level of this team. And I know that the one guy that I didn't mention here in the opening segment was the general manager. I'm going to get to him next. I'm sure he's hiding somewhere. Dan brought it up, and it's a great point. You look at the rest of the people who run teams in this town. I don't even like John Paxson. But John Paxson is available multiple times a year. Rick Hahn comes on this station and others to talk about what's going on with his team. Theo Epstein is available. And I know Rick does whenever they come off the road, he is in the dugout waiting for people to talk about what's up with his team. You hear from Theo or Jed once a week. You hear from Stan Bowman. You don't hear from this guy. Teflon Ryan Pace, a guy that needs to be asked a ton of hard questions and shows his character multiple times when he deflects and puts it on his head coach. He made Matt Nagy answer questions about Colin Kaepernick. That's on you, GM. But we'll get into his resume, too. That's coming up next here on The Score.
When breaking sports news happens on The Score, it's brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free.